There's so many things, despite all the negatives, so many things to be grateful for. Good day, and welcome to Week Pete's Word here on RealAgriculture.com for Wednesday, April the 15th, on this episode of The Word. Feel grateful. Yes, we need to feel grateful. Then, oh my gosh, everything's freezing out there. It's so cold. Some fun stuff to talk about then. Plant growth regulators. When do we use them? How do we use them? Some plots that I want you to participate in. Lots on fertility. Finish up at the end with a bit on rotation. Let's go. First off, man, I can just feel it. It is such a stressful time. I hear it in your voices. I can feel it come across the phone or when I see you out in the field. Lots of things going wrong. Man, can we ship hogs this week? What about our chickens quota is dropping? We can't fill the barn. We have to dump milk. What happens if somebody at my elevator actually gets the virus? How do I handle that? If I get the virus myself, how do I plant my crop? Oh my gosh, all these things are unbelievably stressful. So here's the thing. They're what ifs. And really, it comes down to fear. So here's some really interesting stuff that just bends your brain sideways. I can't tell you exactly where, but there was a study done, and they gave the participants an electric shock. They broke them into two groups. One group sat down, got hooked up to the electric shock, and they were told, every time we press the button, or whatever the parameter was, you're going to get an electric shock. Every time, 100% for sure. The other group was told, yep, every other time, or, you know, randomly, but 50% of the time, when we push the button, you are going to get an electric shock. Now, the other 50% of the time, you're not going to get an electric shock, but 50% of the time, you will. Guess who felt more stress? The people that were only going to get shocked 50% of the time. The people that knew they were going to get shocked, just like, well, it's happening. Zoom. I don't really like it, but zing. There it happens again. Whereas the people that only got shocked half as much were under way more stress because, like, am I going to get shocked? Am I going to get... Oh, gosh. So it's this fear of the unknown. And a really excellent article. So a young man, I talked to him. He was incredibly worried, just worried about this disease and what would happen if he got it and his situation where he worked. And I talked to him, and we kind of worked through the things that he could do, but then he came across this article, and I know it's been out there quite a bit. It's by Dr. Eugene Choi, and we're going to link it here. And I really love this article because he talks about the fear. And when you're afraid, you go into what he refers to as a fight, flight, freeze. Now that's F cubed, and F cubed simply can never be good. But when this fight, flight, freeze kicks in, your body releases cortisone, and cortisone actually weakens your immune system and drags you down. Meanwhile, if you can just be grateful, and you really have to stop and think about all the things that you are lucky to have, and get to the point where you're calm and you really are grateful for those things, then your body goes into this, and I like this, rest and digest phase. And that's, at that point, it becomes much more resistant. It's a bit like this mind over matter, if you will. Put it however you will. But if you can just get to the stage where you're grateful that you've got kids that are healthy, that your family is healthy, that you've lived a good life, that you live in Canada, for crying out loud, instead of somewhere that doesn't have a healthcare system like this. So many things, despite all the negatives, so many things to be grateful for. I really think you need to get there. And you know, the best thing in that whole article was the statement, turn off the news and turn on your personal connections. And this, I've been talking about this a whole lot. This is agriculture, baby. Let's build the community. So turn off the news, pick up the phone, call somebody that you know, your neighbor down the street, your dad, your son, whatever, your daughter. It just make sure that we keep these personal connections and don't spend all your time about what how tough things are out there. Talk about, gosh, it's dry. It's an early spring. How could you be more grateful than it looks like we're actually going to have an early spring? And if you can get to that point, then life will just be better all the way around. Build the agriculture community. Okay, enough on that. Wow, is it cold out there? Oh my gosh, cold temperatures. Dean sending me a picture of his ground level thermometer, which last night, that would be Tuesday night, -9 degrees Celsius. Ouch, that's nasty. Meanwhile, another caller saying, Peter, I planted barley on April the 7th. It went super cold last night. Is the barley okay? Yeah, the barley's fine. By the way, it froze in Kansas. Now, remember, the winter wheat in Kansas is really well advanced, and the growing point is well above the ground. There was ice in the stems in that wheat. Those heads are almost for sure dead. We don't have anything like that. And how cold can it take? Certainly the barley, it'll stand -9, no question whatsoever. And it's got to be -9 for long enough to get -9 at barley seed depth. Not a problem. The wheat, the earliest wheat is grow stage 30. That means that it's starting to push that head up the stem. It'll stand -9, but it's, you know, gets close to soil surface, then -9 for too long, 4 hours -9 might be big trouble. We didn't have that. The wheat is fine at this point, but yep, it definitely did get cold over the last little bit. The other thing, if you had poor wheat, if you had wheat that's on untiled ground, late planted, a lot of that wheat just has not performed very well. It's gone backwards. Some of the plants that you kind of hoped looked like they might live, they got frost heaved. They just weren't quite healthy. Some of those plants have died off. You need to get out there and scout your wheat, because some of that poor wheat is, perish the thought, maybe not worth keeping. Meanwhile, we talked about killing wheat with glyphosate December 27th. And of course, Nature Nut Nick has to go back to the weather records and say, okay, come on, how does that work? So in Nick's weather records at Strathroy on December the 19th, -12 for a low temperature, but then it got warm. And around December 27th, when the grower at Alora sprayed the glyphosate on the wheat, +9 to -1 for a low, +9 for highs. Kind of, there was a week in there where, yeah, the wheat was probably growing, or at least it was able to take up the glyphosate. It wasn't until January 7th that it dropped to -9 again. So Nick, you're right. You don't want to spray glyphosate on wheat at -12. You'll never kill it. But when you get those little opportunities, it is amazing how much you can actually get done. Another quick note. On Twitter, a 2,600 bushel grain cart. Are you kidding me? It drove Ian McDonald nuts. How big do these things have to get? Think about the compaction. Oh, I love it. It's just, it was one big monster of a grain cart, no question. Not sure we need a 2,600 bushel grain cart, but there you have it. We're building them, and they just seem to keep getting bigger. And compaction is definitely an issue on that situation. One last quick note before we move back to wheat. From Chris Brown, the nutrient management lead with the Ministry of Agriculture and Food, test your manure for its pH level. So what's really interesting is we've had such difficulty predicting the nitrogen value out of manure. Well, Chris's work would start to say that if your manure is high pH, so if it's a pH of 8, and you spread that manure on the soil surface, because of the pH, the urea and the ammonium in particular, the ammonium gets driven backwards to ammonia and it all blows off within an hour or two, or maybe even within 10 or 20 minutes. It just blows off because of the pH implications. Whereas if your pH is at a 6, then it probably hangs around a whole lot longer. Knowing your manure pH will give you a lot better idea of whether or not you need to, you know, inject versus broadcast and incorporate when you can, and might explain why sometimes we don't see the nitrogen value that you would expect out of that manure. Okay, going to move on. want to talk about wheat. And yes, the wheat has hit grow stage 30. How do you tell that? You got to cut the stem open. If you can see the tiny little head inside that stem, and don't split one of the tillers, you got to split the main stem. It happens there first. September 10th wheat here at Ingersoll on Saturday was at growth stage 30. So it had gone reproductive, but only the main stem, not the tillers. Once it goes reproductive, it won't tiller anymore. But you know what's really cool is that we have all this great wheat, this early planted wheat on unseeded acres, whatever. How hard can we push that wheat? And so from Mark at Napanee last year, he did one of the MODIS research trials and he put on 46 pounds more nitrogen than his standard program. It actually took him up to 200 pounds of total nitrogen. But from that additional 46 pounds of nitrogen, he got basically 10 bushels per acre more wheat. Now, I would never predict that because that is just huge nitrogen on wheat in Ontario, 200 pounds. But I am also not disagreeing with 10 more bushels per acre of wheat. So Joanna Fallings, the cereal specialist, and a bunch of us, Dave Hooker, myself, Chad Anderson, were working together on a high management wheat trial. We will link the trial protocol here. But if you don't, essentially, it's treatments of 180 pounds of nitrogen. That sounds crazy, but 180 pounds of nitrogen, let's see what we can do. And then we are going to have to apply a growth regulator, or we want to, because we don't want it to lodge. The only one that's registered right now is manipulator. MODIS is coming, but it's not registered yet. So it will have to be manipulator unless you have a MODIS RA. But if you can at all, on your good wheat, do one of these trials and you compare that to 130 pounds of nitrogen or whatever your standard nitrogen rate would be, and see if we can't find that extra 10 bushels the way that Mark did last year. I've also had lots of questions about, you know, how do we tell when we put on that growth regulator if we're going to actually do that? And essentially, growth stage 30, as I said, as soon as you can find that head inside the stem, and you have to split the stem with a jackknife right down at the base. Once the head is there, it's growth stage 30. That's the beginning of when you can apply a manipulator or MODIS for that matter, a plant growth regulator. And then up until second node stage, so when you can essentially squish the stem above the ground, you feel a bump, that's the first node. You squish the stem again. If you can snap your fingers in between that first bump, that first node, and the second node, that is the sweet spot. I hope to get a video done tomorrow, Thursday. If that gets done, we'll link that here as well, just to help you sorting out how to stage that wheat crop. While we are on manipulator and growth regulators, Mario from Quebec saying, so how much does that manipulator or MODIS, how much do they affect straw yield? Well, man, when it works properly, it shouldn't affect straw yield at all. It shortens it a little bit, maybe 3 or 4 inches, about a head shorter. But it thickens the stem. Straw yield should be the same. When it really significantly shortens the stem, if it does a little more than we expect, you rarely suffer more than a 10% straw yield. But that assumes that we're hugging the ground to cut that straw right as close to the ground as we can. As we move away from the ground, then we will see a little bit more straw yield reduction some of the time. The other trial that we're doing out there is with Mazex and Nithfield. I'm working with Greg Stewart and Tony Balkwill on a strip till trial. If you are a strip tiller, again, we'll link the protocol here. But if you are a strip tiller, Mike at Kerwood, a few years back, saw a 7 bushel per acre yield increase by putting some starter fertilizer, just actually a liquid pop-up fertilizer, in his strip till situation, even though he put a whole whack of fertilizer on last year when he put the strips in place in August after the wheat crop. We want to know if that's real. So you have fertilizer capability on the planter. It's basically turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on for a few strips in the field. There's more to the protocol you can have a look at if you're really into doing stuff. But both of those trials, the growth regulator, the strip till trial, do a plot, get me the results. Let's learn as much as we can. Andy, you asked about putting proliant or a gibberellic acid on this really poor wheat. Shane and I have tried that. And yes, gibberellic acid is a growth regulator and it should make the plant grow more. But dang it, that really poor wheat, it's like it's It's got enough other stresses going on that the gibberellic acid can't seem to impact it enough. There's other limiting factors. We have not found that to save that poor wheat. Again, a trial would be great, but I just don't know that you're going to get any results there. Bill, you asked about spring wheat at Brooklyn. You know, dry spring, good chance, get it in early, big yield. Oh gosh, Bill, you're at Brooklyn. I mean, God, if you don't have the spring wheat in by the 15th of April, it's already too late to get really big yields down in that part of the world. Grow winter wheat, get it planted early. I think that's the right answer. Stephen, you asked when to patch in your tile run wheat. Now, yesterday, a while ago, if you have thin wheat, you want to save it. And in Stephen's case, he's a livestock guy. He can feed it himself. If you know you've got poor wheat, the quicker you fill it in with something, the better. And by the way, Stephen, in your situation, you can feed it, grow barley, because barley matures closer to when the winter wheat crop will mature. If you grow spring wheat, that's about the worst because it's the latest to mature. Of course, if you're trying to market something, then at least it's feed wheat. If you don't have livestock to feed it to, you have to use a spring wheat, and then it becomes feed wheat. Wheat barley mix, trying to sell that into the feed market is just about impossible, so don't do that unless you can feed it yourself. Unbelievable, would you look at that? I'm already at 15 and a half minutes. Okay, I've never gotten to this phosphorus and potash stuff. We're going to try something different. We're going to do a Part B to the word on April the 15th. I'll do the phosphorus and potash stuff there. You can listen if you'd like. And if you don't want to, that's okay too. So for now, that's it. That's all. On behalf of the team here at realagriculture.com, this is Wheat Beat with the word for Wednesday, April the 15th. Keep the questions coming. Do plots with us. And whatever you do, make sure that you turn off the news and turn on your personal agricultural connections.